Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Scott, one of the busiest guys on campus, a very busy time of year, our next guest, Dennis Martell, coordinator of health education services at Michigan State University. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Good, Jack. Good to be back with you.
Well, there's a lot going on over there, and you've got some information in terms of some statistical data, some health numbers that people should really be aware of.
Well, you know, we just did the National Collegiate Health Assessment, Jack, and we do it every 2 years, and now we have 10 years' worth of data, which really kind of shows and kind of clears up the misconception that college students don't make responsible decisions. I think what our data shows is that our college students at Michigan State University make some very responsible decisions when it comes to alcohol use, when it comes to cigarette use, sexual behavior, and on and on.
Would you guess that Michigan State is pretty much the norm in terms of college campuses, or is there something different here?
Well, Jack, you know, we always like to say at MSU that we don't follow, we lead. So I'd love to say that we lead the nation. I think we do lead the nation in some aspects, especially in the area of really kind of going after that high-risk drinking environment. I think you've seen some very good community collaborative efforts on getting out information about high-risk behaviors like drinking and driving. We've seen some huge reductions now to the point where 97% of our students say they do not report driving after five or more drinks. And that you might think, well, you know, I think everybody should do that, but that's a pretty high number. You know, we've seen a huge increase in the percentage of students who report that they don't drive at all after drinking anything, up from about 54% in 2000 to now almost 74% of our students say they don't do that. And it's really been kind of this unique community collaborative effort between the city of East Lansing and the MSU community where we say, number one, we need to get out the information about what it is that college students actually do so they know what the norm is. Two, we are going to enforce the law. And three, we're going to give them options to get home from such things as going out there and deciding to drink.
Well, the goal, I'm sure, is 100% compliance with the law and safety in terms of personal conduct. And we're not there yet, but certainly some strides have been made. Would you guess that the educational efforts have been the primary reason? Would you guess that the exposure from some arrests and people saying, hey, I don't want that to happen to me?
Well, I think, Jack, for job security, I'd love to say it's the educational efforts, but I can't claim that all to be because I think that East Lansing and the MSU PD have made a very strong case for these are the consequences you will suffer if you decide to make these choices. Everyone makes choices. And we know that a big percentage of students choose to drink, even though the law says you're not supposed to. My job is to provide as much information as possible so that they can make informed, educated decisions. So I think it's really been the efforts of MSU PD and ELPD to say, this is what's going to happen if you do. But also, most college students don't even know what the norms are, Jack. You know, when we have incoming college students who come here and they think that everybody drinks and everybody's having sex. But when you ask students what they do, you find out that the norm is most students don't drink that much, and when they do, they're very responsible. And that, you know, talk about sexual activity. 75% of our students are very monogamous in their relationships. Now, we think that college students are having all types of sexual activity, when the fact is we've got 10,000 students who choose not to be sexually active at all during the year. So what we're trying to do is clear up those misperceptions about what students actually do. And we kind of call it the science of the positive. Let's put out the positive information about students and let that information sink in so that people who are trying to make decisions know what the norm is.
I find a lot of these numbers a little bit surprising, Dennis, and in a very good way.
Sure.
For the first time since Michigan State University has taken part in a survey, the average blood alcohol content for undergraduate students, quote, the last time they partied, unquote, dropped below the legal limit to 0.074. I can recall not too long ago when the objective on Friday or Saturday night was not to remember what happened on Friday or Saturday night.
Well, and that's part of it, Jack. You know, when you actually ask college students, if you can recite your most memorable three moments when you were a college student, they will actually come back and tell you something having to do with academics, something having to do with athletics. But in my 25 years of being here, I've never had a college student come back and say, you know, it was that time I got really drunk where I drank way too much. Most college students want to remember the activities they do when they're socializing. And we are bucking the trend. I think the trend nationally is that some of these harmful consequences are going up on college campuses. in that they, most college students are above the blood alcohol content for students. And so we've seen the BAC drop significantly now to the point where it's actually under the legal limit.
All right, we talk about blood alcohol content and 97% of students not driving after having five or more drinks. Dennis, I know this is difficult to say, but in terms of the average college student, average height, weight, five drinks would put you at a blood alcohol level of what?
Well, you know, and that's what's difficult about it, Jack, is because if you we say that there's this binge drinking rate, and we talk about if a college student, a male, drinks five or more in one setting, and a female drinks four or more in one setting, that they're a binge drinker. And I refer to that because that's the term we use all the time. But what we don't take into consideration is all the protective behaviors and protective factors about their demographics, their weight, their height. Are they used to drinking? Have they eaten anything beforehand? How long they space? You know, you can be both a binge drinker by that data, as well as an American Medical Association responsible drinker, because if you're sitting for 5 hours and you drank five drinks, the American Medical Association says no more than one drink per hour, and you're a responsible drinker. But then on the other hand, if you drink five drinks or more, you're considered a binge drinker. So it really kind of, we have little cards that we give to all MSU students for men and women that tells you about how much you can drink to reach a certain level. But the factors we don't consider, Jack, and it's one of the things we try to get across to students, it's not sometimes about how much you drink. It's how fast you drink it and what's your context for drinking. Have you eaten? Are you in a bad mood? Why are you drinking? So it's all these environmental factors that can lead to, you know, somebody getting to a point where they're in trouble.
I suppose if you're 220 pounds and you've had three slices of deep dish pizza while you've watched a couple of games, that would also be a mitigating factor.
I think we know now that one of the things that we've tried hard on this campus to do is put out those protective behaviors that students tell us they use. And one of the most protective behaviors we know that's out there, Jack, is not just eating while you're drinking, but staying with your friends. We know that people who stay with their friends the whole time they're out socializing or drinking, whether it's on a celebratory activity at a football game or just on a Friday night, end up being more protected against harmful consequences. So we do encourage students to eat while they're drinking for a couple of reasons. One, because there's something else in your stomach, and two, it increases the amount of time it takes you to finish that drink.
How much of it might have to do with the fact that Michigan State University, by and large, is a walkable campus? And you can go to a party and walk home. You can go to a bar and walk home. You can go and pick up a six-pack or a 12-pack of beer and walk home. You don't necessarily have to get in a car and drive 5 miles.
Well, you know, that's one of the actually one of the misperceptions, Jack, because if you understand the residence system on Michigan State's campus, only 16,000 students actually live on campus. We have another 20,000 who live in the East Lansing proper area. So there are a lot of students who do have to drive. I think one of the most important things we've done is offer students alternatives.
Okay.
We put out taxi cards and cab cards, and mm-hmm. we have had a lot of taxi groups jump up. And so we've tried to make that affordable to them, and we've tried to make that knowledge out to them. So we do have a walkable campus per se, but only 16,000 students live on campus. And usually we find the problematic drinking doesn't necessarily happen on campus as much as it does off campus.
Right. I was referring to the fact that a lot of people who live in houses in East Lansing, or they live in apartments,
sure,
fairly close, and it's a lot like living on campus in terms of being having proximity. You could actually live in an apartment or a house and be a lot closer to where you're drinking than if you're on campus.
Right. And, you know, that's part of it. And walking itself, you know, is one of the things we encourage people to do, especially if they're walking with their friends to mm-hmm. go back. And so I think part of it is that. But we've seen the dramatic increases in the number of students who are saying that they are not driving, when back even 10 years ago, the campus was much like it is now, though we've had several new places for students to live pop up in East Lansing area. But still, we've seen a dramatic decrease, which doesn't necessarily hold true across the nation, in people who are saying, I'm not driving while I'm drinking.
Dennis Martell, our guest, coordinator of Health Education Services at Michigan State University. We've talked about the Innovative Social Norms Project. But one statistic here, Dennis, before we let you go, that I was most intrigued with and happy with. More than 60% of students have never smoked cigarettes. Another 21% have not smoked in the previous month. Maybe they have quit, or they just experimented and briefly. But that's more than 80%. I think that's a very good sign.
Well, it's a really good sign, Jack, and it's one of the biggest misperceptions about any college student, especially here at MSU, is that on a daily basis, we only have about 10% of our students report smoking on a daily basis. We have another 10% that smoke sometimes during the month, and as you see, 21% have never smoked in the previous month, and 60 have not at all. So what it's saying is that our efforts, and I say efforts, not just MSU, but the state of Michigan and federal, about really getting out the message about what smoking can do to you and some of the legislation of, you know, eliminating smoking from certain buildings in the state has really worked. So only 10% of our students on a monthly basis actually smoke.
Dennis Martell, coordinator of health education services at Michigan State University. Dennis, it's a lot more fun to talk with you after seeing numbers like this than after a Cedar Fest.
Always a pleasure, Jack.
All right. We'll be right back with more Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.